This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What the hell's going on out here?
Luke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Anyone ever tell you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no,
now,
no,
Jimmy, I heard
you misunderstood
that!
Misunderstood.
Why? What do you mean, why? We're in the championship, aren't we? Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? I'll just behave yourselves and act like men.
I'm not much for giving inspirational addresses. The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time and trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
You play ball like a girl!
I think you're a loser.
I'm a bum!
Hello, all you fellow bleacher bums out there in baseball world. Welcome into the Bleacher Bums. I'm one part of your team, Jimbo, here. Let me welcome in my good friend and esteemed colleague, Jono.
What's up, going on, babe? How you doing?
Fish is en route, so Flounder does not need to make an appearance. Fish is en route. We're going to have him on here.
Got a nice fill-in for right
now. Yeah, we do. I want to take a moment to welcome in my partner in crime on my
He's my partner, too.
I know that. I'm just going to introduce – I was going to say that. One part of my team on Two Birds on a Bat, which is the Cardinal dedicated show. And of course, your esteemed colleague on the Cowboys podcast,
yeah.
The hottest show in the land, by the way.
Well, Cowboys it's podcast. The hottest team for the hottest show. I mean, it works right. Out really well.
Yep. And supporter of LMG for sure, Steve Jones. What's going on, bud?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Well, it's baseball season's off season. Jono and I, when we were doing the Bleacher Bums and as the show was growing, we talked about our off-season approach. And it's like, okay, what do you talk about in the off-season? Well, you know, there's always trade rumors, there's always free agents, there's all that kind of stuff, right? It's funny, we kind of both said to one another, it does always seem like something discussion-worthy pops up. So yesterday we get one of those instances. We're going through the awards. Right now, right? So all that stuff's happening. Great cooler talk, right? You may think this guy, you may think that guy. Well, we have a baseball fan out there that's really unhappy about one of the awards.
Is this a tweet that I heard?
This is a tweet,
yes. I think I saw this tweet.
Yes, and this isn't just your normal person tweeting this out.
Oh, no, it's not.
The baseball world is very familiar with Justin Verlander, and let's face it, the guy has been a dominant force on the mound for quite some time. Justin Verlander has also been a dominant guy off the field with a certain lady, and that lady's name is Kate Upton, who, boy, oh boy, good for Justin Verlander, I say. Well, let me tell you something. If you ever needed any doubt as to whether or not Kate Upton has Justin Verlander's back, we don't need to look any further. As you may or may not know, Justin Verlander was, in my opinion, slighted out of the Cy Young. I felt like he definitely deserved to win. I feel like his stats were better than the other players. But be that as it may, Rick Porcello from Boston edges him out. I think it's how he edged him out that has some people. Yeah. I think it's how he was edged out really riled up the girlfriend of Justin Verlander, Kate Upton.
Isn't
it appears.
That his wife?
No, they're not married.
They're not married.
I tell you what, though, judging by pictures that everybody's seen, they'd be married in quite a few states. So the reality of it is he winds up getting a lot more first place votes. A la the presidential election. It's like he won the popular vote but didn't win the college. He had way more first place votes, did not have obviously as many second place votes. What it really came down to was, and this is a problem, guys, two writers didn't even have Verlander on their ballot anywhere.
And they probably weren't around his area and didn't watch any games at all.
You didn't have to watch any games for him to be on your ballot. That's what's wrong with this. So, and that's we'll come back to that because we got to figure this out.
But were they East Coast riders?
Can we find that out? Well, I'm going to effort that while you guys maybe carry on a little conversation here to see if anything's come out.
Well, go ahead and quote that tweet, son.
Well, it's hard to quote it, but I guess we can, right? We can.
I don't want to quote it.
Do we want to quote it?
Yeah, you want to quote it.
Do we want to quote it?
You want to quote it.
You know, it's a tough thing to, you know, we're trying to keep it somewhat clean here.
Just say the F word.
Okay, earmuffs. How about that?
Just earmuffs them.
Is that what we're talking about here, the earmuffs?
We're ear-muffing him.
Well, the bottom line is this. I feel like he was hosed. Kate Upton obviously feels that he was hosed. And the bottom line is she tweeted out that she thought that she was the only one that was allowed to
F him.
Justin Verlander. Obviously saying that it's the writers that F'd him. And that's not fine. The reality of it is she came back out with some other stuff. He had the majority of first-place votes, and two writers didn't have him on their ballots. Can you pick out more people that are out of touch? Sorry, Rick, you didn't get any first-place votes. You didn't win. You know, keep up the times and fire the writers. There's all kinds of things that are coming out. The reality of it is he was robbed, in my opinion. But, hey, that's why they vote. I got no problem with it. But the fact that he was not even on two ballots is an issue. I'm sorry, it's an issue.
I think you got a great point, man. No. I mean, that's crazy.
I think it's an issue when, you know, and I know that how they do the balloting there and how they do the scoring, but they got to switch something up to where if you're not getting, if somebody obviously has that many more first place votes than you do as a second place guy, you can't be first place, right?
Right.
You can't be first place with never winning.
Well, how do they base that on? First place gets the same type of points as the second place? Or how? I mean, first place should get like 5 points. Second place gets 3 points.
There is
third place gets 1 point or something like that.
There's some math to it. What it really came down to was is that, you know, he was Porcello was listed on all the ballots, and he was not, and that ultimately is what hurt him.
That was very not close. A sexy name throughout the season. Did we ever even talk about
it? Well, Porcello had a great season. Right, I have no issue. I mean, if he doesn't have the season he has, Boston, you know.
They didn't go anywhere.
Right. So he obviously had a great season. I don't have any issue with that whatsoever. My problem with the whole thing is, at the end of the day, is it's all we've had this conversation about, like, Hall of Fame balloting and things like that. Some of these guys refuse to put these guys on their ballot, and they're so deserving. And they these old curmudgeon type guys, it's like, nobody should be a heart fault. You know, that's, come on, man. Give me a break. For you to not have Ken Griffey Jr.'s name on your ballot, you should have your head examined and not be able to vote. Same thing here.
Absolutely.
If you did not have Justin Verlander on your ballot, your privileges should be revoked. So then it asks the question, who's the governing body on something like this? Is there anybody out there going, okay.
There shouldn't be, though.
You know, we're going to go ahead and rescind your right to vote.
Yeah, but there shouldn't be anyone that does that. Should have the power to take every... I mean, that could work for the good or the bad as well.
Okay, well, how about this then? Okay, I got you there. No doubt. You're definitely right. On the other note, though, you have to police that, because that is so stupid.
Well, baseball's been political like this since, I don't know. I mean, this has been around forever.
Okay, so you want to leave it alone. Okay.
I'd like to leave it alone, but I like the response that the Verlander camp gave back.
I think it's great.
I think that's what makes it more beautiful to me on that note. So, hey, Fish just walked in.
Fish is here. Hey, Flounder, get out of here. Fish is here.
Hey,
this is good stuff.
Hey, you know what? I just love Jono. He's the best guy on the show.
Man, I've been missing me some Fish today. I'm glad to see him. Put them headphones on, bud, and jump in here. Well, we got a fan in here with us. Steve-O's with us this week. Get your headphones on there, bud.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we're just talking about Justin Verlander getting the shaft on the Cy Young and his girlfriend kind of sticking up for him. I think it's kind of cute.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. A lady sticking up for your man like that.
She got that act from Tom Brady's wife.
Hey.
Yeah, that's true.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
Who got it from Kurt Warner's wife?
Right, who got it from Kurt Warner's wife?
Yeah, but Kurt Warner's wife was.
Hey, if your woman can't stand up for you, who's going to stand up for you, right?
No, but
that's great, and it's great for conversation that Kate Upton would take the time to defend Justin like that. The reality of it is, again, it doesn't really matter to me who wins. I do think that Verlander should have won. The issue is, how can you not have him on your ballot anywhere? And again, I'm with Jono on this. It maybe shouldn't be one guy, but there ought to be a committee that calls in somebody and says, you're going to need to show me what you used as a baseball writer to not even have Verlander on your ballot. And if you can prove to me that he wasn't worthy to be on your ballot, you can keep your vote. If this was simply a vendetta or something else, we're going to go ahead and rescind your right to vote, because that's dumb.
Okay. Now, you're saying that, like, what you'd like to see happen, because you know that's never going to happen in baseball. Well, I mean, it's the old rider thing. They've been doing this 100 years.
You're right.
Yeah. That's not changing.
But here's the deal. I mean, are we talking, and I know I'm just the guest here, but Jimmy, are we a little hypocritical here? Don't you really hate the instant replay in baseball?
I do hate
it. You like the human error, and all of a sudden you don't like the human error in the balloting?
I don't like ignorance.
Okay.
Well,
that's just what I don't like. To me, that's dumb.
What am I doing here then?
I don't think Jimbo. I don't think Jimbo's saying throw that out. I just think that Jimbo's saying that there should be some sort of definition on what how you voted or how you didn't vote. Something back. How about a 100 word essay on what the hell
you love
just
an
did.
Essay. You I love a essays. Good essay.
I kick people out on Facebook, and then for them to get back on as my friend, I make them give me a 100 word essay on why they should be my friend.
My
again.
Favorite thing.
I
in the
would
world.
Absolutely do that. I'd write a 100 page essay or 100 word essay to get back in your graces, John.
Yeah, but there's you're
no
a good
doubt
writer. But you're a reader and a writer.
I wouldn't
so.
Say that.
No, again, we're back. I'm all for it. Leave it alone. Let the writer. You know, people want to take it away from the writers. I don't want to do that. I'm okay with that. Okay, but again, I really more than anything, I would love to sit across from the table from the two guys and say, why didn't you have him on? Well, how can he not be on your ballot and hear what they say?
But admittedly, the Baseball Writers Association, they have a handful, and I don't even know what the number is, but they have guys that have voting rights that have nothing to do with baseball anymore. So there's obviously an issue. I don't mind the baseball writers having it, but they have to can't give it to them for life. I mean, either these guys have to have some dignity and say, hey, I'm no longer covering baseball. I'm going to give back my rights to vote, or they need to pay attention to baseball. There's no reason for him not to be on a ballot.
You know, this has happened before, though. I mean, you'd be really stretching me to remember.
No, it has.
They've done this stuff before where guys have been left off ballots and, you know, like a protest vote. And I agree with you on that, Jimmy. If you're protesting something, you've got the wrong venue here. It's not fair. It's not right.
And again, I want to be clear here. If it's a situation where there's all kinds of guys and a guy says, listen, there's all these guys and this and that. We're talking about a guy that got 14 first-place votes. 14 first-place votes. Right. Okay, which was six more than Porcello got, who wound up winning. So he had 14 first-place votes,
but
and two writers don't have him on there
okay,
at all?
Okay, Jimbo, let's be honest here. What the hell does it matter anymore?
Well,
what the hell does it really, all he's doing it this for and his gal's doing this for is for his contract. This is all about contract.
He's made a little money, so he's probably
I know,
okay.
But this is all about contract, and it's not the same old. You know what I like to talk about this offseason? We've talked about it on the show. How can Major League Baseball improve on instant replays? What can we add or what can we not add? I mean, we're offseason now. What can we think of?
Get rid of it.
No, you can't get rid of
well,
it.
You know,
it's part of us now.
If you're going to have it, what's wrong with having it for anything? Remember the play we went over, and I can't, where the guy swung and it clearly got tipped or didn't get tipped, and it was clear as day.
It got tipped.
It got tipped.
Scored two runs.
Right, and it scored two runs, and made at the time we thought it could make a difference in the playoff run, and it may have because I don't remember all this. But the point is, why are some things open for subjectivity here and some things aren't? I mean,
you're
going to have it, let them challenge anything. It's up the ball and a strike.
That's a great point. I mean, let's bring it all out.
Well, you know, interesting enough, I think like E60 Sports or 60 Minute Sports, something like that, did a actual camera on the strike zone. And it's going to be interesting to see if that ever comes into play because we saw it during the playoffs. And it does play a big part of this game where these 2 or 3 inches balls outside are getting called strikes, and it's so subjective. And Jim, we coached together. I remember specifically having an argument with an umpire where I made a comment, a ball was low towards the ankles, and I made a comment like, hey, we need to bring that up, Blue. And after the inning, he grabbed me and he goes, hey, coach, I assume you don't like my strike zone. I go, that is exactly the problem. It's not your strike zone. It is the strike zone. It is specifically
good
defined.
Good point.
And that's what pisses me off. And guess what? It gets Bryce Harper ejected from games. Okay, it gets all these guys who are arguing balls and strikes getting thrown out. And at the end of the day, I get that pageantry, and we all love it being
right.
athletes. But I like to see 100% accurate calls. If we're gonna have it, let's have it. And I wouldn't mind. They did a great special, and I think Burns, who's the old outfielder for the Diamondbacks. He was actually the umpire behind the plate doing a test on it. He said it was awesome, amazing. All they had to do was somebody was in his ear, and there's a light out in the center field, ball, strike. All he had to do was focus on fair and foul and swings at the plate.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? He brings up a real good point on this matter, too, on horse racing. If a horse cuts off another horse, there's four judges up in the stands that check this out. Now, what he just said is perfect. That's the way it should be, that he cut him off. It should stop right there. That horse should get disqualified. But nowadays, they got these four judges up top saying this. Well, there was no way that horse was going to win anyway. It had no factor in the race. That's bullshit, guys. It always has a factor. Anytime you do something, and what Steve-O's saying right there, he's saying that rules are rules. It's not your strike zone. It's the strike zone. Come on.
Hey, I'd be afraid how they'd implement it, because sure. I know that the guy may have said it was great, but it seems like there may be some unforeseen problems in getting us where we ain't waiting around time at the time.
What do you mean your strike zone?
They did it in a game. They did it in a minor league game. And it was flawless with 100% accuracy. And they take the measurements. There's a guy up there that takes a measurement of the strike zone whenever a guy comes up there to bat. And then the funny thing was even if that guy crouches down his second at bat, it would not move the strike zone. It would stay with him. So they pin him at the beginning, at his first at bat, every time. It was unbelievable.
Well, I don't know that I like that. But
look it up.
I don't think I like that either.
But here's the deal. On it, and again, I don't even want to take that away from the umpires. I don't have an issue with that. They just got to be better. Now, are they going to be perfect? No. And I'm even on record as saying, as a guy that hates replay, that I surprisingly will tell you that I think they get the calls that we think they get wrong the majority of the time correctly. Again, people say, overturned calls were this. Fish and I are both in agreement. We've talked about this. They're not just replaying a couple plays a game. They're replaying about 30, because every time there's a close call, guy steps up, they look back, and what does typically happen? The guy goes, nope, we're good. Okay, again, if you want to have replay, have it. All I'm saying is it should be about human element. So it should be this simple, okay? It's this simple. If you think he blew that call with your naked eye, then you should be able to replay that. I don't want any phone calls to somebody upstairs reviewing it. That is stupid.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
This is going to sound ignorant, too, because I haven't had really much time to think on this. But what if you did something like that where a team could challenge four strikes or balls a game?
I'll quit watching.
All right, the only reason I say that, I know it sounds stupid, is there you'd get in a situation maybe in the eighth inning where it's close and an umpire clearly blew a call that it could matter, affect the game, where you could say, I'm going to challenge it. I get it's probably stupid. I hadn't had much time to think about this. But my point is, I just can't see challenging throughout a game every ball and strike.
You're not stupid. The problem is, you're exactly right. If you talk, we have Benji Moline on the shows occasionally. You're not going to get any more insightful than him telling you. He agreed. There, a strike call can change the outcome of a game.
Sure.
Hitting is so hard. Getting in a hitter's count versus a pitcher's count can change a game.
That's why I'm saying in situations.
You're right.
But here's the thing. Let me note here that I'm with Jimmy on this. I think umpires ought to be calling balls and strikes, and that's it. I don't think that we ought to have the camera. I don't think we have any of that other stuff.
Whose phone?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. And what I meant by that was it wasn't anything that I thought was awful. I think what I was saying was that I'm not going to watch a game, okay? I'm not going to watch a game and have them stop to check a strike call. I'm not going to do that.
We're getting overboard. Yeah.
I want them to do it. Or, listen, and I'll tell you this. If we do have the technology and you want to go to that, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me, but I'm not reviewing balls.
I'm not playing Jetsons baseball, all right?
Yeah, I don't think the ought to.
I don't think we're up for that yet. I don't need one guy with a ball and a robot calling strikes.
I'll do it the way you saw on TV. If they want to put a thing in a guy's ear, that's fine. I got no problem with it.
Here's my only point, and guys, I do another show with Jono. We talked about the Cowboys once, so I'm going to bring up some. I have 17 years experience with instant replay in the NFL with the Rams.
Oh, boy.
I know. How about that credential? I actually sent them. At one point, we had a survey to send in to, I think it was Dean Blandino, who controls that for the NFL. I sent them something. I said, I would love you to go ahead and synchronize all your cameras frame by frame. So you can actually – I hate that fact where you're looking at one angle trying to see when the ball hit in the leather and he caught it compared to when his foot hit the base. It's real easy. One camera angle has a glove. And if it says it's at frame 10,042, you simply go back, and if his foot hit the bag at 10,041, safe. 10,043,
yeah.
Out.
But what do you mean by that hitting the glove? You got to make that
catch.
You got to make the
well,
catch.
No, they have it. They have it documented. It's when the ball hits the back of the glove.
Yes,
on so, the squeeze.
On the squeeze, yes. Yeah, you okay. got to catch it, of course.
Okay, so,
but like when you see it go in, like you know, they've got, that's the thing. We're down to now a frame by frame.
Yeah.
Okay. So what? Like you see the guy's foot hitting the bag. The glove's open. This is what's amazing about technology. The glove's open. The ball has broke the plane of the leather, but it has not hit the leather. The foot hits the bag. He's safe. If the ball touches the leather. It is. He is now deemed out if that happens before he touches. So that's where we're at. We're down to a frame
Absolutely.
By frame thing.
It's See, just in terms of us talking like this tells me that it's far too complicated.
That's right. You're dead right.
We don't need all this. If we're talking we about, and I get what you're saying because we have the technology, Steve, the 10,042 and all that. Is the glove squeezed? Is the ball just in the back of the glove? Because I thought it was an interesting point Jono brought up about the squeeze.
That's right.
Because, as you said, it's not just the ball passing the
right.
The line of the front of the glove, it's
right.
getting in the glove and squeezing it.
Right.
You have to control it just like any outfield. You catch
right.
it. And yeah. So it's far too complicated.
We don't even
to do
know what
that.
A catch is in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. There's another one.
Hey, here's one that I want to run by you guys because I think this is a little bit too early. Every team has until this Friday to declare which players to add to their 40-man roster. Those left unprotected will be exposed to selection of 2019. Isn't this a little too damn early to
well, no.
let this go right now?
Well, no, because they got to have – it's the Rule 5 draft, right? So
right.
what they got to do is they got to allow this. And basically what this does is it allows players that are – you know, the players' union wants this for players – to not get stuck in a system, right? Like they're
but why
not,
so early, though?
Well, because it's off season now. The guys are making moves. It's not that early, Jono. It's the middle of November. We got catchers and pitchers reporting in a couple of months. It's not that early.
Right.
You know, the other thing is that you make a good point, Jono, but that Rule 5 draft has rarely had an impact on anybody or anything.
No, there's a,
but
there,
right
there
now, it's the talk right now.
Right, I understand because it's early. And that's. But name me a player that someone accepted to the Rule 5 draft that made an impact.
Well, we had one this year on the Cardinals, Matt Bowman.
Yeah, you think he made an impact?
Well,
I mean,
he was one of their better relievers.
You know, so, yeah, I don't know, but
I think I think the bigger thing there is finding out who organizations feel deserve to be on their 40-man roster. I think that's the bigger thing here. I think if no matter like you know, obviously most of like we're Cardinal. Jono's a Reds fan. We have some good friends that are Cubs fans. I think the telling thing is how the organization views players, like. You know, like if you were to look at our 40-man roster for the Cardinals, I'm looking at it right now going, are they really going to expose this guy and keep this guy? And it's really more about the prospects, not the guys that are at the major league level. It's for the Cardinals. It's the Myers, the guy that come up and got rocked, but they still say he's good. I don't know. You know, Harrison Bader, all these guys that are eligible, do they put them on the 40-man and protect them, or do they expose them? It's more those guys, I think. It's hard, though. Fish brought it up. The reason you don't see it is the rule is if your Reds take a player off the Cardinals in the Rule 5 draft, he has to be on your 25-man roster
right.
the whole season.
40-man roster, yeah.
Well, he's got to be up at the big leagues.
Yeah, he's got to be in the 25-man
roster. He can't even be on the
40-man
of the minors. He's got to be at the big league level, or you have to offer him back to us for, like, I don't know, $50,000 or $100,000 or something. So it is an interesting thing, but I think it tells more about the guys that are those – I hate to use this term, but they use it, 4A baseball players, the guys that do well in AAA but can't seem to get it together in the big leagues. Those are the guys you typically see there. I don't know.
Well, that brings me to the next question. You guys have that show, Two Birds on a Stick. What's it called?
It's Two Birds on a Stick. It's Two Birds on a Bat, son.
Okay, all right, Two Birds on a Bat. Hey, you guys right now are in a situation where I think you guys got a shot at getting either Fowlers or Cepedas on your team.
Well,
asking you guys now as Cardinal fans, what do you guys like? I mean, I personally would like a Cepedas. Your lineup, it's kind of a dull lineup. This guy can add some power to it.
So I missed that. Did you see somewhere where it looks like we have a real shot? Well, because I like the
I think Fowler's guys. And Cepeda's are both being looked at right now.
Well, I think the Cardinals are looking at everybody. I mean, I don't know that they have a chance. But to your point, those are sexy names. Yeah. Those are sexy names for sure. I think they both fill a different role. I think the Cardinals would adjust. Listen, I'm on everybody out there. I don't care if you're a Giant fan, if you're a Dodger fan, if you're a Reds fan. If your team fell short of winning the World Series, you want your team to improve. The Cardinals, in my opinion, have to improve. You want the Reds to improve. The San Francisco Giants are trying to improve. That's why it's so hard. We want something now. You got to have patience. I don't have any patience. I want something done now.
But no, you see, you're different, though. You guys are different than me. I have to have patience. As a Reds fan, my Reds are, realistically, I'm looking at a 3-4 more year project. You guys can be restless right now because you have to keep up with the Cubs.
Are you trading us Votto?
We'd love to trade you, Votto.
We'll take him. I
swear to God, we've offered him, and not to you guys, but the contract seems to be getting in the way of a lot of teams.
Yeah, the Cardinals have 9 first basemen. I mean, what's one more?
Yeah, you want Matt Adams?
Know, this team might play Votto at short.
Matt Adams.
You know, you don't know.
You don't want Matt Adams?
Matt Adams and batting practice balls.
That's the problem with the Cardinals. They try to always snake trade, and it doesn't work.
That's what Jimmy does in fantasy baseball with us, too.
Oh, jeez Louise.
The old snake trade, huh?
He's not as bad as Georgia.
Do we have to talk about fantasy baseball?
The difference, let me get back to what we were saying, and the difference with the Cardinals and some other teams is some teams, and I won't just say the Cardinals, have to make moves to improve. Teams like the Indians.
For now, right?
I'm sorry?
Yes, for now.
For now.
Oh, yeah, to improve right now. For now, right. If you're the Reds, like you said, you're not in
exactly.
it next year probably.
Exactly.
Unless everybody just has a career year. But, you know, it's baseball. Who knows? So what I'm getting at is there are some teams that realistically would like to improve because every team out there, including the Cubs, want to improve. Having said that, there's teams like the Indians, you know, Toronto. They probably don't have to improve a lot. And could still be in it. If we're talking about the Cardinals, which we're not, but them and a host of other teams have to make some moves.
I think Toronto's got to sign their guys.
They got to do that.
I misspoke there. They have to do that.
But I mean, as far as go out and trade or shake a bunch of stuff up or go out and necessarily spend $200 million on another guy that's not on their club. Yeah, you have to keep your guys because then it's a different team if they don't.
Right.
I'm basing that on.
But everybody's going to go through that, including the Cubs, who I think Chapman's up. I think they have a couple.
Chapman, Fowler.
Yeah, a couple pitchers.
They let Hamill go already.
Absolutely.
Jason Hamill.
So everybody's in that same situation. You're right, Jono. The Reds are in a rebuilding.
Right.
And you have time to be patient. And at this point, if you're doing that, are you 100% committed to a rebuild? And are you saying, okay, what kind of prospects can I get? Or do you just say, you know,
okay,
we're going to keep the guy.
But from a Reds fan's perspective, define rebuild. So, like, for instance,
right.
I think
that's where I was going to go.
So for instance, okay, so would Cespedes as a Red help you guys? Of course it would help him. Would it be enough? Probably not. So do you not sign the guy? So that's my point with rebuilds all the time. People act like.
Yeah, but Jimbo, I'm looking at a guy for the Reds that's going to be there for me 6-7 years down the line. I can't look at that. Those players are going to come and go, and they're not going to want to stay there anyway, and I can't afford them. So going back to what you were saying, I need that future player.
Yeah,
sure.
You need a prospect that you can bring up in your system and get close. And when you're a. Not by my system, it could be the Yankee system or whatever. But when you're 5 or 8 games above 500, 10 games above 500, that's when you're trying to go in and make that splash with 1 or 2 free agents that will now put you 20 games up, and all of a sudden you're legit.
Okay, but here's the problem with baseball because I've heard him say this, and I want to hear his answer. Okay, again, It's not that I'm putting him on the spot because it's a real issue. Okay, the Cubs went through this rebuilding thing. They bring up these young guys in Rizzo and Bryant. Let's just use those two guys as an example. They sure look to be long-term pieces of a puzzle, correct?
Correct.
They're gonna get paid, correct?
Correct.
Okay, the Reds bring up a guy in Joey Votto who's the real deal. And if you're ever going to have any long-term success, you want Joey Votto. So they pay him, but yet now you talk about how it's handcuffed you. How would it be any different if it was – forget the name Joey Votto. What if it was Chris Bryant in the Reds? What if it was Anthony Rizzo? What if it was Cespedes as a Red, as a young guy? if you're going to keep him, you got to pay him. And you're saying that it handcuffed you. So how do, according to you, John, and I'm just asking a question,
right,
how do they ever compete then?
Well, you got to take the Marlins approach to it. Okay, you got to load up with the young talent and then all of a sudden go out there and buy your couple of big-name free agents, win it, and fire sale. And where the Marlins have screwed up is all of a sudden they got into a couple big contracts, okay, for the long term, thinking, okay, well, if the Cardinals can do it and maybe the Royals and we can add in, maybe we can compete on an annual basis. But they can't. You're not going to be able to compete with the Cubs if you're Cincinnati or the Cardinals because the money.
Okay, so what you're saying then is Jono, as a Reds fan, has to accept that as a Reds fan, I'm never going to have any longevity with any players, because if he doesn't pay Joey Votto, Joey Votto goes to the Yankees or wherever.
Absolutely. What,
right.
Are you okay with that?
Well, that's what happened with Chapman. We would love to have Chapman. That's where we were hurting in the back end of our innings, but we knew that we couldn't afford him because we got a Homer Bailey
right.
on $100 million, and we've got a Votto on a $200 million, and that's more than anything
okay.
we got out
so
there.
So I ask you as a Reds fan then, are you okay with that?
I am okay on the sense that it's going to be better if we keep a guy like a Duvall in the outfield that's going to hit 30, 40 home runs, and you know what, we'll progress with him and we'll pay him as he gets better and better.
You got Todd Frazier that jumped on you know, right. He chased the money with the Chicago's. I mean, the deal is, and I think we're starting to pigeonhole teams, and especially, I mean, I do it all the time, where you'll start looking at, you know, small market, mid-market, and big-market teams, and you start figuring, and it's not rocket science. Sometimes you're going to be able to get these guys, but most of the time, you got to acquire them in a trade, or you got to bring them up to the system, and you got to make a decision when they get there. Where are we going to spend the money? Pujols was, you know, the example for the Cardinals. You couldn't spend the money on – I mean, you could, I get it, but you couldn't, in their budget, spend the money on him, what he needed and wanted, and then continue to be – a top-of-the-line team and make the playoffs, because eventually that those purse strings get pulled back a little bit. And unless you got that young talent, we just talked about the potential, unless that young talent comes in, the potential lives up to it, you're a below 500 team.
Well, so that's the problem, and we've known this for a long time. It's come down to a money ball game. And teams like the Reds are probably not going to successfully compete year in and year out in the market that they're in. Now, the Cardinals, because they have got a good fan base, similar type of market, really, has been able to do that. By and large, you're not going to be able to do that. They're not going to be able to outspend the Angels, the Red Sox, the Yankees, all these teams. So what are you left with? You know,
well,
you got what you got. I mean, it's kind of unfair, but they're not going to be able to compete with that. It's not because the Reds are necessarily dumber. They've chose not to spend the money. They knew Chapman was good.
Well, yeah, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know Chapman
right.
can help
any team.
But
the thing is,
yeah.
they knew they couldn't outspend New York or Chicago or whoever
so
it may
get
be.
Something for him now, yeah.
Absolutely.
So what do you do? How do you ever compete? How do you compete long term? You know,
yeah,
I mean,
but
it's
you know,
tough.
I disagree with Fowler's on this because I definitely think that Pujols was made for this. He was catered to St. Louis.
Yeah, he should.
And
yeah.
St. Louis really, they treated this guy wrong because that's the growing price. That's the price tag of these players. And you know what? St. Louis said, no, we're not buying into that. Now, if they had the opportunity, it wouldn't have been the same as like 4 or 5 years ago when they got rid of him.
Yeah.
I mean, the prices went up on these players.
You make a great point. The Cardinals or any organization needs to realize the future value of contracts. And when you're signing those long term, is that all of a sudden, like the Holiday deal, when we signed him for $17 million, everybody's like, oh my God, $17 million. $17 million now is a steal, right?
Right.
Or
yeah, that actually
million.
Worked out good for him, I think.
$20 million.
He's played well.
So you get into this Pujols contract. Had it happen, what was it, 5 years ago?
It's been a while. Yeah, it seems like yesterday, but yeah.
And that was, you know, somewhere in that 25 mil range. 25 mil right now for a top-of-the-line
guy. A 35 home run hitting first baseman that plays every day.
Every day.
Guess what? You're probably thinking, I got a pretty good contract there.
Well, hey, Jono, when you said that St. Louis was hard on Pujols, did you mean the the organization or the fans?
No, the organization. And the funny thing about the organization, it sold it on the fans, and the fans deserted Pujols.
A lot of them bought it.
I think Pujols did the right thing. Here's the problem, though. What Pujols did was similar to your beautiful girlfriend who you love so much, you love her passionately, walks out on you. You've got nothing left but to resort to name-calling. So the St. Louis fans kind of did some of that. They were so upset that this guy we loved so much, and we didn't do, walked out on us. that we resorted to name-calling.
Well,
I personally didn't because I think Pujols did the right thing. I also think the Cardinals did the right thing.
Well, in essence to the girl there, it's more or less the girlfriend's dad told her not to see you again. Because I definitely think that girl would have stayed here and that girl would have been with you, well, forever.
You get my point, though, right? A lot of St. Louis fans who did and still do love Albert Pujols resorted to the, oh, I'll never watch another game to Pujols and all that crap just because they loved him so much. Because I did, too. I loved Albert Pujols.
But there was a lot of backlash. I'm telling you, these Cardinal fans bought into the Cardinal organization. The Cardinal organization, they're charging these people $10 a beer, and they feel good about that. But then when they want to keep the guy, they're saying, we don't have the money. Are you kidding me? You're bringing about $35,000, $40,000 a game, and you can't tell me that you can't keep Pujols there?
Well, I think this is – we're making this about Pujols. I think this is a problem across baseball for
right,
most
right.
For
no,
organizations.
Right, right. No, I'm just saying,
you know,
yeah.
No, you're right, and it's a hot topic because he was – again, you mentioned it. He was a different guy. Like, I think this conversation has – like backstory to it, that you have to understand that this isn't a guy that came here in a trade or something and then he played out his contract, he left. This guy came up with the organization. He burst on the scene. He didn't just come on the scene. The guy came in immediately as one of the best players in baseball, and it never stopped. It never stopped. You're talking about a guy that put up the best 10 years ever to start a career in the game of baseball. Not first, or not tied for first, not second, not third, the best ever. And you can put it up against Ruth, Gehrig, Mantle. You can put it up against Willie Mays, all these guys. That is unarguable. You're talking about a franchise, to Jono's point, that we had success with him here. We were winning with him here. $10 a beer. The fans want him. And what I didn't like was, and Jono touched on it, and this never gets talked about, the franchise sold the fans on, this is a bad deal for us if we sign him, and I did not like that.
Right.
Hey, I want to check you here just because are you sure that Albert said, and I've looked at it, and I know, are you sure he's had the best 10 years and he's not tied for first with a few other guys?
No.
It's the
greatest.
No, yes. I disagree with that, and I will prove you wrong on that one. What I'm saying is right there with guys. I'm not saying that he's in third or fourth place, but there's been a lot of guys that have had the first 10 years that are comparable to Albert.
Nope.
I promise you.
Get Fish a laptop so his sausage fingers can go to work.
Well, first off, let me tell you, like Ty Cobb's first 10 years, he probably hit 390.
But he didn't hit 30-something.
Well, it's how you measure all that.
Well, that's how they measure. I'm just telling you.
I thought I was your sausage.
Them, they, those people.
Who's those people?
Them, they,
those
people.
Well, those people are dumber than I am. I'm quite certain of that.
Well, I don't know about all that.
Well, fellas, another thing about the Cardinals is interesting is then they come back and they try to reward the fans by Hayward by giving this crazy contract.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? You're making yourself look bad now. Now you're overpaying just to get this whole Albert Pujols ghost away from St. Louis.
Do we now have a ghost? Do we now have a ghost? Or a goat or whatever it is? Our curse? A curse?
There's a curse from Albert.
Oh, no. The Cubs had to deal with that for 100 years.
Because now it was like, okay, guys, look, we signed someone big, big contract. You guys wanted a big contract. It didn't work out like that. The big contract had to be the guy that went to the Angels.
Well, again, I don't know if I'm ready. Like Fish eloquently brings up, I don't know that I'm ready to say that we're going to have 108 years of struggles because Albert left. But the reality of it is, I mean, he was iconic. I wanted him to retire here, so some of that's personal. I wanted to meet my grandkids at Pujols statue. Unfortunately, I think there's going to be a statue out there, but I think it's going to be one of the little ones. It's sad. I didn't want it to be that way. It is what it is. It's a game of baseball.
Hey, this isn't a Cardinals show, but I brought this up before to you, Jimbo. I'm telling you, Molina, great. Pujols, great. A lot of great guys. They ain't never going to be in time in St. Louis in your lifetime or mine that there's a statue that's as big or bigger than Mujols.
No, there won't.
I'm just telling you that. I don't care if Pujols would have stayed. He'd have had a big, nice statue, but it wouldn't have been bigger than Mujols.
It would have been bigger than Mujols.
It would have not been.
It would have been, because it would have been the house that Pujols built.
And I agree.
And I'm trying to think of it, you know, because we had the 1918. Is there a 2011? Is there a chant that's going to be happening?
Oh.
Is there a curse?
I hope not.
I hope not either.
But, no, I think, Fish, with all due respect, and rest in peace, but Mujol was not the man that Pujols was if he would have, you know— would have stayed.
Jimmy, look them numbers up. Man, you're crazy. First off, Mutual finished with as good or better numbers than Pujols had in his career. And look up the first 10 years, because you're saying this about Albert being the greatest of all time. I'm saying he may not even be the greatest Cardinal. Look up Mutual's first 10 years and look up Pujols.
I looked it up. Pujols hit at least 300 with 30 home runs and 100 RBIs in each of his first 10 seasons. That is the longest streak of such seasons for any player in his career. You can second are Gehrig and Ruth.
Right.
So, yeah, but you are now defining that. Look at the numbers. So you're defining that as the 130, 300 thing.
Those are the big ones.
What do you want to?
Well, they are the big ones. But wait a minute.
Fielding percentage.
What do you want to do? Hang on. You can fill that in there. But what if because I know this to be true of Albert. Most of those 30 home run years were 30 home runs. What if a guy? We're just 30, 32, 33.
Oh, I don't think
He only had a couple years where he hit like 40 or even better. Maybe not even a couple. Fine. My point is, you look at Ruth, who you're comparing him to, and seven of his that same time frame, he hit 48, 49, or 50 home runs.
Please tell me.
So he's out over him, and he hit 40 points
please
higher.
Please tell me that you're not comparing Babe Ruth to Pujols, because I can tell you right now from a baseball player standpoint, I don't think Ruth – would even make a team in 2000.
Oh, that's a stupid argument.
I would love
that's
Babe
a stupid
Ruth.
Argument.
Well, because, but I'm going to be honest with you, though. Okay, that is a bad argument. But I'm going to give you some stats here. You
horrible
ready?
Argument.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let's start with home run totals. First 10 years. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
37, 34, 43, 46, 41, 49, 32, 37, 47, 42, 37.
These are consistent
That's
numbers.
Not 30. Okay, so that's pretty good. RBIs. Start first season, 130, 127, 124, 123, 117, 137, 103, 116,
well, yeah, but Jimmy,
135, 118. Batting average.
You're pissing in the wind because I'm not denying that. I know that his first 10 years were phenomenal, and I would be willing to say that it's in the top three, four, five guys that ever played. You're saying the best. So when you're throwing out that one year he had 137 RBIs, all right, that was year five. What was Ruth's year five? Was it 178?
He was still pitching.
You know? No, he only pitched for 4 years, I think.
So anyway, I'll look up some of them.
But I am with Ruth, a different example. I'm talking about his first 10 years as a hitter.
But you could go to
multiple other guys: Gehrig, Mays, all kind of guys.
But Fish, fellas,
well, here you go.
This is here.
I give it to you right now. I can tell you that, fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it. Okay, in his fifth year as a hitter, he only had 96 runs batted in. In his eighth year or ninth year, he only had 67 runs batted in. He did not hit 300. He hit 290. So what they're saying is Babe Ruth, as an example, for 10 straight years to start his career, did not hit 300 every year.
Okay, what I'm trying to tell you, though, I already answered that. I said I get that. That 1 year he may hit 290. But there were 6 years in there where he hit 350 or better.
Yeah, he had 378, 376.
Right.
But he also had a year Pujols he hit 300, 315.
Pujols never come close to 378. This is not the right argument for this show. I'll find you some proof and bring it in, and we'll discuss it.
Come on, guys. You guys, your eye test doesn't tell you that the pitching wasn't different in 1922 than it is in 2012 and 2016?
Maybe, but I'll even say yes. Here's the problem, though, with that, Steve. You're doing the apples and oranges thing now. All right, I'll give you that, yes. But when we make these comparisons, so in 30 more years when the athlete is bigger and stronger and all that, then can we compare them guys to Pujols and say, well, them guys weren't as good?
If they have 10 years,
it's different eras. You can't argue that.
But, Fish, here's the deal. If I'm born
– And I agree with that if he has 10 years or – but I agree with that. That's my point. So you can make that same comparison with Ruth even if the pitching wasn't as great.
But, Fish, here's what I'm saying. Just if I'm born – and I'm playing baseball in high school in 1940. I'm in the major leagues. I can't even make my high school team in 2016. The players are completely different.
Yeah,
that's not even true.
Silly. To say that you today wouldn't have having the same things they have today, you would, and I believe that. Look at Jono's guy, Votto. Did he? I believe. And I don't have anything to back this up, but he had a historic second half to the season.
Every time he turns it up a notch.
All right. Now, if he would have that full season and did it for they'd say the same thing. The problem is it was the consistency. That's it. And not that those guys weren't great consistently. They just didn't break those thresholds. But look at what this guy did. If I'm not mistaken, didn't he have a 500 OBP the whole second half of the season?
It's unbelievable. But my point is, with a guy like Pujols, he brings respect. I mean, forget the numbers. Throw the numbers out. Now you got to look at a pitcher, how he's going to pitch around to get to this guy, to get to that guy. I mean, there's a lot of point A to point B with Albert Pujols in the lineup. You may not see that on the stats, but this is the type of guy that you put in the lineup, and he brings fear to the pitching.
So I like where you're going now. Now you can range that out to any team. So Fish, obviously familiar with some of these great players and great teams. Think about these teams as they went through their primes and they did all this kind of stuff. We talk about a Willie Mays, who we didn't get to see a lot of, right? Because we didn't have it on TV every day.
I didn't see Willie Mays.
Okay, but imagine them without Willie Mays. It isn't just the stats. It's what he brought to the team. When you had a Gehrig, when you had a Ruth,
Perfectly on this note, how the hell do you have bases loaded and the opposing team walks in, Barry Bonds to give that one run? That, my friend, is the most respect you will ever find. I mean, that's not something you find on the stats.
Well, I will say this. That is an unbelievable respectful thing. Would you have done it if you were up one run?
I don't know.
Would you have done it if you were up one run?
No. Hell no.
With the thinking of, well, at least I'm tied. I can get the next guy and move on another inning. But he's so good, I didn't want to
lose. First off, you can do the same thing without looking like a clown if it backfires.
That's right.
Barry Bonds walked over 200 times in 1 year.
For sure.
As a matter of fact, I've always said that he was too selective. He hurt his team by being too selective.
I've always felt Votto was that
way. He needed to swing more. He needed to open up. Yeah, he may have more strikeouts. He may have less walks. He may have lower batting average. But he would drive in more runs. He would make more things happen. Having said that, you could have pitched around Bonds and made sure everything was up and in down the way, where he wouldn't have swung and you'd have still walked him without looking like a clown if it backfired.
Sure.
You could just now say, I haven't walked the guy.
Right. Good
and
point.
I gotta be respectful. I can't throw fastballs down the middle.
Right.
Or he's gonna put him out there in that water.
Right. Well, and to that point, it's hard to throw fastballs down the middle anymore to anybody, but especially what may arguably have been one of the best hitters we've ever seen with our own eyes.
Well, so that's what I'm saying with a guy like Bonds. In the same era as Pujols. Now, not to argue the first 10 years and all that, because Bonds,
steroids?
There you go, maybe, right? Which Pujols may have done also, so don't be too quick to jump on that bandwagon. Babe Ruth did not. Having said that, you're talking about a guy in the same era. Barry Bonds was a better hitter than Albert Pujols. And you're talking about a guy who played essentially the same time. As a matter of fact, Barry Bonds won all these MVPs, and a couple of them I felt like Albert should have won.
That's right.
But so we could argue there. But so now you're saying he's the best of all time, and take away the first 10 years, which is what you're using. But if we're looking at it realistically, he may not be the best player in his era.
No. Again, if you're going to go by what they want to use, he had some years he didn't hit 300.
Right. Who wants to use that? Because I agree.
He had some years that he didn't drive in 100 runs.
He had some years where he only hit 24, 25 home runs early too, I think.
I'm talking about during his 10-year stretch where he was dominant. He had a couple years that he had a couple years he didn't drive in 100. He has a couple years he didn't hit 300.
All right.
One year he had 262.
So here's what I'm saying. So before we got in this discussion with Pujols, Bonds, whoever, Ruth, Mickey Mantle, I guess I wasn't laid out the formula that you are now using, because if you're going to say that, well, the only guy that qualifies in is Pujols, because he's the only guy in the first 10 years that 30 home runs, 300.
That is exactly what he is.
Well, but my point is that doesn't say that you had the best 10 first years. That doesn't say that early in your career you were the best player ever. Because I'm telling you now, I don't care what the numbers say, he wasn't a better hitter than Barry Bonds. And I love Albert.
In all honesty, I think we drifted away from where I was going. I was saying that Albert Pujols was valuable to this team. And for them to just get rid of this guy, he brought fear to that lineup on the opposing end. I mean, however you look at it, I don't care who did what. Babe Ruth did this or that. Albert Pujols brought fear in that lineup, and now you don't have that because you got stingy. You rather pay Hayward the 17, 18, whatever the hell.
Well, it would have been 20 something.
It would have been 20, and you backed off. Steve brought it up. $25 million now seems like it's a go for a good player.
Well, again, we're back.
You're getting
to,
backup catchers now making seven.
It again, and I think the great part of this discussion is because we're knee deep in it right now, right? Like teams are making decisions on what they're going to do. Do I do this? Do I stretch? Do I give away this prospect? Do I do it? Jono's point, which I love, is yes, and we talked about the numbers: the 300, the 100, the 300, the 100, and the 30 home runs. They are all threshold numbers that I agree with. There's more to it than that. There is presence in the lineup, presence in the clubhouse, respectability. You know, again,
leadership.
Hey, I've said it a thousand times over. Hey, if I'm a manager and I get to write batting third every game, number five, Albert Pujols, I'm awful fucking smart.
Hey,
sorry.
Easy there. Hey, well, here's what I would say. Then using Steve's eye test, I think we can see some of this. But them things for the casual fan, which is what we are, not casual, passionate, but just the fan.
Passionate but casual.
Right. I mean, we're not in the clubhouse.
Sure.
We don't know. I think the eye test tells you that what Jono said is dead on, and I agree with that. Of course, there's other players that provide that. But Pujols was a winner. Pujols was – his stuff was contagious. Everybody listened to Papa Pujols, if we want to call him that.
Sure.
So I agree with all that. But those things that we're sitting here talking as fans, like me and Steve are going to get in an argument after the show, I guarantee it, over this. Or you can't measure those things. I mean, it's too hard for me to measure who brings – because to me, Votto don't bring any of that.
No,
I mean, he's kind of a loaf. Right. He's like, yeah. What, you know, but that's the eye test. I don't know what's going on.
And Jono has said as much in conversations in the past about the whole Votto versus Pujols thing. That's why I think as a Reds fan, and that's kind of where this conversation started, was whether you're the Mets and you're possibly going to lose Cespedes, if you're Chicago White Sox and they're talking about trading a Chris Sale, if you're the Reds and you have such a great player, like obviously Joey Votto's a very good player, but is he good enough to clog up the team for a guy like Jono that really feels like they're hamstrung?
Look, we had Benji in here a couple weeks ago, and he said that's not what we look for in the dugout, a guy that doesn't high-five. I mean, those are the little tangibles that, you know, you play into a nice, successful team, a nice, respected dugout. Because, you know what, I want you coming out. I want you high-fiving me. I want you throwing that water out. If I'm Duvall, I just hit a home run, a three-run home run. I walk in a dugout and Votto just sitting there, and he walks by him and he taps him on the hand. But you know what, get out there and like the old Reds and start tapping, start jumping around, get some emotion back. And I don't care if you're hitting 30 home runs with 320 batting average, it's not worth anything to me if you can't formulate and chemistry around the whole team like
I
that.
Agree with that. I don't know what everybody else thinks.
He just knows that they just didn't have a shot, and I think, you know, and if that's how he is as a clubhouse guy, well, poo-poo on him, you know. But at some point, I guess he just mailed it in and said, hey, we don't have a shot. I'm going to do my thing and get – and hopefully the team wins, but I'm not going to be a rah-rah guy. I don't know. Is he like that every time?
Well, more or less, he's talking to the fans. He gets into it with the fans. He gets into it with the guy that gets on first. He wants to talk to him for a good 2-3 minutes, the opposing guy. I mean, there's little things that you're seeing out of him that you're saying, you know, I know you're doing your job, but that's all you're doing. He's the kind of guy right. that comes in, does his job, and they ask him, hey, would you like to stay have a beer with us? No, that's all right. I got to get home.
And on that point alone, Jono, you are so dead on this, because there's so much more to being a great player as far as the team winning and losing than just hitting 320 and hitting 30 home runs. I could not agree with you more on this. There's an element, and some guys got it. We've all played sports at some level. We've all played with guys that had that element that you almost looked up to. I won't say idolized, but would follow him into the, you know, the old follow him into the ditch or foxhole, whatever. And some guys don't. Votto appears to be the guy that don't. Kobe Rasmus' dad said it best. Look, it appears to me that if you were going to a party and wanted to have fun, you wouldn't invite Joey Votto.
Well, it appears. And to that point, and we brought him up, is anybody inviting Barry Bonds to a party? Probably not, judging by all the things we've heard from him in his career. He can't – you know, look, he lasted 1 year as a hitting coach because, I mean, it just doesn't work. Certain guys don't work that way. What they provide is in a different thing. When you have a guy that provides on the field and off, it makes him special. So, again, I've always understood that's where you were going with Votto, Jono.
Hey, here's what Bonds did. At some point in his career, he actually had in front of his locker a recliner, a big leather recliner.
Yeah.
As opposed to all the other guys having. You guys have probably been in clubhouses. I haven't, but I've seen some pictures when they're interviewing.
We were. We didn't last long. We got kicked out. It was after the 2011 World Series.
But I'm thinking just with your contacts, you've been in. I have not. What I am saying is I've seen on interviews guys sitting there on little stools and benches. Right. That says something. How can you have a player, I don't care how damn good you are, how can you have one guy sitting in a recliner and the rest of these guys sitting on a little wooden bench or stool?
Yeah. He was a me guy.
He's not likable.
No, I would challenge that. And listen, to think that there aren't guys that played with him that didn't say, listen, Barry was misunderstood. I actually like Barry. I'm sure there's plenty of those guys out there. But the reality of it is the proof is in the pudding. The guy was difficult. The guy did not have that likability. And again, it goes back to the original thing here, and I think Jono's point was dead on. If you want to use Pujols, it can be – there's other players. I guarantee you, if we look at it, that not only provided on the field – that not only provided off the field things like Jono said about respectability, a fear in the lineup, you got to change your game plan, but also we're good clubhouse guys. So they're out there. This is that time of year, guys, where teams are deciding.
That's my point.
You know, Jono brought up Cespedes or Fowler. Could one of those guys be a difference maker? Could one of those guys be an awful signing? Who knows? But that's the thing right now that all these clubs are doing. So I will tell you guys, make sure, bleacherbumspodcast.com, that is our website. That's what houses our show. Give it a listen. You can catch up on some of the back episodes. Of course, @BumsPodcast is our Twitter handle. info@bleacherbumspodcast.com is where you guys can send all the emails. We're asking you guys to subscribe to the show. The easiest way to do it, bleacherbumpodcast.com. It's right there. Click on your network provider. Boom. Very simple. We would love to hear from you guys on the players that you feel like are worthy. Jono's been very open with his team. He wants, you know, as much as he appreciates Votto can provide on the field, he's got to go. We as Cardinal fans, I don't know who we want. We just want somebody. Cubs fans, Fish brought it up very eloquently. They don't care that they won the World Series. They want to keep winning World Series. So what do? Whoever you're a fan of out there, we'd love to hear your thoughts on your team. And, guys, this hour flew by.
It flew by. And my friends out there, tune into Cowboys Show. We got a Cowboys podcast on the lineupmedia.fm. Lineupmedia.fm, you've got great hockey shows. You've got blue shows on there. You've got us talking about the Cowboys. Me and Steve will take it after this show, and we'll cover that up.
You guys got the Cowboys podcast, cowboyspodcast.com, coming up next, right?
It's coming up
next. The show's been great, by the way, and it's the fastest growing show on the network.
It really helps when the Cowboys are winning, too. Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you then.
Big thumbs up from Fish.
Hey, you guys are going to have to talk about what Romo come out and did the other day. You talk about
total class.
You that Romo wouldn't start, though, Jono, and I know we went through this.
But you know what? If 20% of Romo or Votto, I think it'd be a lot better lineup, a lot better type of team out there.
Well, I can tell you, what he did was nothing short of fantastic. So look
I got
to
roll,
show.
Guys.
Yep, look for that show, okay? Cowboyspodcast.com. For the Bleacher Bum. Hey, I forgot Steve-O joined us. You know what? You do so many shows around here, you just feel like a natural part. Thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
You know what? I like our new Thursday lineup, man. We roll out hockey, and then we head right into the Cardinals, and then you guys got your Bleacher Bums, which I sat in today. I missed my lunch appointment, obviously. Pantera's Buffet, always a fat man special. And then I head right into the Cowboys show, so I'm going to have a great day today.
Thanks for joining us, bud.
Yeah, I was going to say, I loved having him here. It felt natural.
Oh, he's
but
great.
Did it seem like he hung back a little because he knew it wasn't his show? Because normally some of the things I just said to him, he'd been over here in my lap.
Oh, I don't know.
Hey, in the first show, we had Kimball in as our guest on the Supreme Mortgage, Supreme Lending Hotline. So I thought me and him were going to come to blows. That's what I wanted.
You need to do is fight Darren Kimball. You know what's interesting is the reason I like this guy is we both had the same thing. When you show up, act like you own the place, okay? And that'll take care of you. So I think you did that on the show today. You sure were ready to go. And I do want to hear this conversation between you two because it'll be great off air.
He's off his rocker.
Well, I know he is. I love the guy.
Listen, if you would have said Pujols had the best 11 years, he would have gone berserk because he would have run out of fingers and he would have had to take off this damn.
Oh, boy.
Here's my problem. My problem is this, because I'm never prepared enough like as you two guys are, and I do appreciate and respect that. You guys are a lot more. So when you're arguing about this, I can only go by like the eye test, what I remember. My memory's not that good. I've seen this thing before, and I just don't think that you can gift wrap it to Pujols as the best player in the first 10 years. Now, if you're going to throw these, like I said earlier, this formula on me now that you had to do this, to have to do that to be considered, well, I didn't know all this. I don't know who's saying this. I don't know who come up with it, because I don't think that you have to hit 330 home runs and 100 RBIs to be the best player.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, I watch these guys and the way they swing back in the 50s and 40s and 30s compared to the bats now.
Let me tell you something. I'm gonna shut you down, because David Ortiz swings the bat almost identical to Babe Ruth, and that's a fact. Now, that being said, we are the Bleacher Bums. I look forward to next week. I look forward to Fish proving me wrong that Albert Pujols did not have the greatest 10 years to start a Major League Baseball
No, that's
career.
Not really what I said, Jimmy. What I said was there's a class of about 3, 4, 5 guys there. So I'm not throwing Pujols out.
Oh,
I'm
no.
not saying Pujols isn't involved in this conversation.
You're saying he's tied for first.
Right. I'm saying he's tied for first.
We're all tied for first.
My man tied for first, Fish. Hey, for Jimbo, Jono, for my man Fish, and thank you for coming on, Steve-O, and producer Brian back there, we are the Bleacher Bums. We'll see you guys next week. Enjoy your offseason.
Thanks for listening.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.